Good morning, Chebasil. We've got 8 members on board.
Okay.
I think we can start the meeting now, Chair.
Okay, but there is a lot of noise. There is something noisy. What is that?
From where, Chair?
There is a background sound. I'm not sure whether it's a network jam or...
I'm sure it's a network person.
Okay. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, honorable members.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Good morning, Chair.
Morning, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's start with our meeting. Before we start, as usual, I'm going to request that we observe a moment of silence for meditation and prayer. Thank you very much. Honourable members, today's agenda, we have invited the Western Cape province to come and share with us their plan for human settlement and water and sanitation in Cape Town. I suppose we should acknowledge, I'm not sure whether the MEC is here, Buyokazi, who's here from the city of, not the city from Western Cape. Buyokazi.
Hi, Chairperson. I am not sure who's here, Chairperson.
Chairperson?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, before we carry on, can we also do roll call so that we can see? Who's here, who's not here, in terms of the people of Kalan.
Okay. Let's start. Before we do that, let's check with our guests, because this meeting is determined by the people that we have invited. Western Cape here. Let's see who's here.
Good morning, ma'am. Yes, my name is Pamela August. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Human Settlement Planning with the Department of Human Settlement in the Western Cape.
Okay.
Chairperson, it's the Honourable Powell. We can't hear you. Your network seems to be quite bad.
The network is so bad.
Morning, members. The members that are on board is Honorable Vara.
Hello, Honorable Mathieu.
Okay.
Yes.
Chebasil. Yes, Chair.
Members who are here.
are here is Honorable Vanna, Honorable Sihlayi, Mamu Makoto, Mr. Ogas, Ms. Powell, Ma'am Beke, Sio Pongwe, Che, and Mr. Mashiko.
Okay, because my network is very bad, can I request that Honorable Mashiko, Honorable Mashiko,
I'm sure his network is also bad, but I can see him is online.
Okay. Does member still have a problem?
Yes, Chairperson, we can't hear you. And just to please note that Member Honourable Graham Marie is with us from the Democratic Alliance, standing in for the Honourable Basson. Thank you. Person is really experiencing a problem in terms of network. I think we need to suggest that we appoint an acting person, session, because if we're going to keep like this, it's already 9:10. Committee Secretary, could you perhaps take us through the process for Rule 159, appointing an acting chairperson?
Yeah, the chair is struggling, I'm telling you. She has a serious network problem today. We need to move forward.
I mean,
we need to move on. Let's try to do something. The chairperson,
we can have a break for 5 minutes. I'm just trying to assist chairperson to connect. No. Please, chief members. But apologies, members, the minister and the deputy minister, Mr. Masobo and Ms. Lindiwe Sisulu, they won't be joining the meeting now. They've got a joint cabinet meeting this morning.
We are glad we...
Morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. The apologies, Chairperson, that we have is three. Mr. Basson won't be able to attend the meeting. He's got doctor's appointment, and the minister, Ms. Lindiwe Sisulu, and Mr. Masobo, they are attending a cabinet meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, ma'am. You said you might break for 5 minutes so that you can allow the Chairperson to connect. So why don't you continue with the apologies? Can we allow you to use the exit Chairperson so that you can give proper information, please? I support the break for 5 minutes.
Can share the meeting without the chairperson, because I can see now we're going to spend all
no,
the time
don't.
One
oh,
person
in a house.
It must be an extra person. We move on, and the chairperson will join us on the way.
No,
Is there anybody who can? All of you cannot
hear it. We have a lot of members. Relax, madam.
Now your incapacity is going to...
Relax, madam.
There's no incapacity. Just wait.
Relax.
Be patient.
It's a virtue.
Makubalo, the secretary of the portfolio committee, where are you? We need to proceed, members. We can't wait for one person.
Hi, members. I think we must elect the acting chairperson, because the chairperson is not connecting at all. And IT, they also say they can't help because it's a network problem.
We should have proceeded long time ago. Let's carry on.
I think according to rule 159, we need to appoint who can stand in for chairperson.
We don't have to vote, we have to elect.
Comrade Vanna, can you take over, please? I'm proposing your name. Since Comrade Mashik was connection, it's also a challenge.
About incapacity before. She's been nominated. What is the problem now?
No, there needs to be a seconder.
Any seconder?
Yes,
okay, members. Mamu Vana,
can you take over and chair the meeting for us? Thank you.
Honorable members, the chairperson has already opened the meeting. Then can you fly to the agenda?
Oh, I hand over to the Mamuvana, can you hand over to the department to present?
No. If we fly the agenda so that it can be adopted. Ask the IT to fly it, can be adopted and seconded before we give anyone. That's the procedure. Are you unable to do that?
If they can't fly, Chairperson, can you propose them just to read it?
Seemingly there's a problem. Thank you.
I'm trying to flag it, ma'am. Can you meanwhile read it if you don't have capacity to fly it?
Already 9:20.
Okay, Mushayo, we'll try and cover up the time. We'll make sure that at least we meet the 12 o'clock ministry time. Can you read it, Vyoba? I know you. Can you please read the notice to us?
Not the notice, the agenda. Yoga, read the agenda. You have it.
But this incapacity of the NC. You know, this thing is now so chaotic.
Can we possibly proceed? This is really actually
Now is the problem. We must wait for 30 minutes waiting for you.
No.
Come and let
Chairperson,
can you
call Member Mushala out of order? She can't bring the NC on this. We are on virtual here. We are not in a physical meeting. You are out of order. And it's not for the first time. It happened in the NA. It happened every now and then when there's a problem of technical
but
connection.
But you must stop projecting
it. It can be linked to the ANC capacity. Order.
All right. Honorable members.
ANC members.
Honorable members, let's stop this. We are wasting time instead of the 30 minutes that have been lost. Mm. Honorable Mushale, just hang on. See me. The agenda. Can one assist us in reading the agenda for us so as to adopt it?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Honorable.
Yes.
Vana. Today, Tuesday the 1st, is briefing by the Western Cape Provincial Department of Women's Settlement and Department of Water and Sanitation on the Business Plan 2021 District Development Model. Water and Sanitation Plants, Water Services Authority Plants, and Wastewater Treatment Plants, and briefing by the Water Board on the annual... the Women's Settlement and the Department of Water and Sanitation on the Business Plan 2021. It will be followed by the District Development Model. Thanks.
Okay, Chair. Honorable. Can we then request that the agenda be adopted? Well, this has been read. Any honorable member?
Honorable Mvana?
Yes.
I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Seke. Any second up to that?
I second. It's Honorable Powell, I second.
Thank you very much, Honorable Powell. Can we then proceed and give over to the department?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm present, Chair. My name is Pam Chair, the Deputy Minister of Human Settlements.
Welcome, DM. Thank you very much.
Greetings to all honorable members. Chair, allow me to greet also the Western Cape MEC and all the officials from the Western Cape and the officials from my department and Water and Sanitation. We're supposed to be led by Mulelo Changana, who is the acting DG and the HOD of Western Cape. It's just that I don't see them, Chair, but I assume they are here. And I just want to say, Chairperson, today we're here to present, as you know, that last week we presented Free State and also Gauteng presented. And today is the Western Cape, which is presenting the business.
Biogazi?
Morning, Chairperson.
Okay, hello, we can hear me now.
Yes, Chairperson, we can hear you.
Yes, Chairperson, we can hear you. We are proceeding with the meeting. You can talk to
us
because you are present.
And who's chairing?
I was chairing, Chairperson. I'm Honorable Vanna, and no. The DM was still busy outlining the procedure. Thanks, Chair. You can take over. Carry on, DM.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to highlight this.
Okay, you can continue, my.
I was saying, Chair, I'm led by, the team is led from the department by acting DG Mulelo Changana, and I assume that all HODs from the Western Cape should be here. And also, I want to greet also the officials. Chairperson, today we're here to present you the business plan and district development model of the Western Cape Department of Human Settlements. And also, all the members, in May, if you still remember, we appeared before the committee to present our medium-term strategic framework and annual performance plan, as well as the adjusted budget for the period 2020-2021, where we reported that we had been directed by the National Treasury to adjust our plans in response to budget cuts and the reality of COVID-19 and its impact on our work. Chair, the city of Cape Town is one of the cities affected by large number of immigration. This includes other cities like Johannesburg, Tshwane, Durban, and Port Elizabeth. It is against this background that the province will, in their presentation, illustrate on how they are putting relevant plans in place in order to deal with the situation. In their presentation today, honourable members, the province will touch on adjusted with regard to the human settlement grant and indicated how that will affect the non-financial target of the province. The business plan, the Western Cape business plan, honourable members, the plans will be increased land invasion, which I think it's entailed in the business plan. The problem statements, they will reflect on 2020-2021 budget cuts, including impact per region. Anticipated program spend, they will present it, Chair. Chairperson, I will now, because I don't usually want to waste time and repeat what is going to be presented, and I would love Western Cape to present themselves. And I think Honorable Simas, who is my friend, will now, I think the GG will take over, and the Honorable Simas is supposed to be telling us and introduce the team from the Western Cape, and also the acting DG, Mulelo Changane. Could you highlight who is here from the department so that the members of parliament know who is here from the department? I thank you very much for your time.
Very much. Thank you very much, DM, DG Shangana.
Morning, Chair, it's Neville Cheney. Chair, just to indicate, DG Shangana is battling to connect. He seems to be stuck in the lobby. I've asked Ms. Taitai to assist. He's battling, so with your permission, Chair, I could just assist. Thank you, DM. From the department side, Chair, we've got Ms. Nontandla Buthelezi, who is the acting DDG for policy, delivery frameworks in the department. We've also got Mr. Busi Tose, who is advisor and assisting in the office of DM Trete. We've also got with us Mr. Leshabane, who is the acting DG for human settlements. Mr. Mlanzeli. Chair, just to indicate, I'm not clear at this stage from the from the Western Cape if, as DM's indicated, if MEC Simmers is here, but I know that his team is here. I'll ask Carmila August just to indicate, but I know that he might be connected under another name or sitting in another office. Thanks, Carmila.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Cheney. Good morning, everybody. I do see on the comment that there's been an apology submitted from our provincial minister by our head of ministry, who is present, Ms. Njalo, as well as our head of department, Ms. Jackie Sampson. There is a provincial cabinet meeting today, an urgent meeting, so they have been deployed to those meetings. But from our side, as I said earlier, we've got our head of ministry, Ms. Njalo, here. We also have our CFO, Mr. François de Wet, and the head of our implementation team, Chief Director Sila Mayasela, that are present to support me. I am the head of human settlement planning. Thank you. Would it be okay for me to load the presentation?
Yes, you can load
the presentation and continue with the presentation. Okay, I'm just loading. Can you see that?
Not yet, but
yes.
It's still coming. Yeah, you can see it.
Okay, again, good morning, everybody. We've been asked to present. With your permission, I'm going to leave my camera off just so that we have better connectivity. The provincial team will present on the human settlement business plan and then also on the joint district and metro approach, which speaks to the district development model that's been approved at a national level. I will do the first part of the presentation, which is the human settlement business plan, and my colleague Pila Mayasela will lead the second part of the presentation. So our presentation basically just speaks to the Western Cape human settlement context, our business plan as it currently stands, and then what we're doing to compensate in terms of the anticipated budget cuts that we've been seeing now. And then lastly, we'll speak to the joint district and metro approach, which we call the JDMA. Okay, so if we go into the context, our context is not different to any other province that we see. We have many, many South African citizens living in inadequate conditions. We see significant underinvestment in park infrastructure, particularly in the non-metro areas where they don't have access to the MIG. We see that there isn't sufficient social infrastructure, economic infrastructure, transport infrastructure. Like the member earlier said, we see a need for land and an acceleration in land invasions. We see a distortion in the property market, where our teachers, our nurses, etc. are living in backyard structures, too wealthy to afford or to qualify for PNG, but really not able to qualify for the bond at the banks either. And then, of course, we have the added burden of creditworthiness and affordability. And we're seeing increased frustrations from the affordable housing market and from persons on our waiting list who have just been waiting for many, many years, and it's now reaching boiling point. At the same time, we have municipalities who are facing incredible financial strain, given that the more units being constructed for the PNG market, the more demand and the revenue, the less revenue is coming in. So we need to ensure financial sustainability at a municipal level as well. And this, like I said, is not just synonymous to our province, it's synonymous to municipalities across the country. We've seen significant amounts of land invasions. It's been all over the news in the last couple of weeks. And I thought it important just to mention that, because it does set the context on how, besides the budget cuts that we're experiencing, we're also seeing expenditure being diverted to land invasions. So in 18-19 financial year, the province spent about 28.6 million rand on land invasions. 1920, that went up to 71.5 million rand. And so far in 2021, until the end of August, or till today really, we've seen an expenditure of 60.4 million rand just on land invasions. If you put that into context, we could have spent that money to build 464 BMG houses. Over and above that, we have spent in the last 15 months about 80 million rand fixing vandalized structures or having to pay time claims because of extension of time due to violence, 80 million rand. So that's incredibly significant. In 1 month, the period 11 July to the 12th of August, just within the Cape Metro, we've had 56,700 structures demolished, 77 attempts at land invasion, 22,800 plots that had to be cleared. We've had 97 protest actions, 57 arrests. We've had 43 injuries on duty within government. We've had 14 government vehicles damaged and 8 private vehicles damaged. There's been 9 court orders granted. So it's at a point where the continued criminality of land invasion is reaching a point where it's beginning to destabilize, or an attempt to destabilize the government, coming at a significant cost to the metro and the province. So the basic problem statement is that there is going to continue to be a growing demand for jobs, services, and interest, particularly in our lower income communities, and that our currently living model, necessarily of free housing, is not sustainable socially, financially, and economically. We're seeing that in all aspects. This continued budget cuts, we have slow economic growth, and the state will have to find ways to do more with less. So with that context, I'd want to jump straight into the business plan. So at the beginning, or at the start of our financial year, the budget was 1.9 billion rand, and we had that budget decrease to 1.7, just over 1.7 billion rand, a decrease of about 202 billion rand. And this slide quickly just shows the difference in what we'll be able to achieve. So I'll focus on the 31st of July, our latest business plan. We've got 5,697 sites that can be produced and 8,528 substructures that will be developed. You can see the difference, which is the amount in the red. 2,185 sites have been lost as a result of the budget cuts, and about 1,417 units have been lost as a result of the budget cuts. If we look at the different regions are affected, the city of Cape Town will spend the USDG for the service tax. So in terms of substructure, we've seen a decrease to 2,506 units within the city of Cape Town and a budget of about 283 million rand. All the regions have seen a cut except the Garden Route. And regarding me particularly, there are a number of factors which guided how we decided which municipalities would be impacted and which municipalities would not necessarily be impacted. But as you can see, all of them except the Garden Route really has received cuts. The biggest challenge is that we have contracted commitments. If we were to cancel those contracts, we then face penalty clauses. And the penalty clauses outweigh the advantages of cutting those, or knowing those numbers, cutting those targets. So in the Garden Route, we have a big contract that's been approved, and it's decided it's most financially viable to continue with that project and push through that project and to face the penalties that we have to. The other factors that we use to guide how we will cut projects is if there were bulk issues that had not been resolved yet, or that if there were bulk funding challenges where they haven't quite found out how they're going to pay for those bulk, we delayed those projects. We looked at projects where we have given planning funding, but the progress hasn't been as fast as we anticipated. So we could potentially move those projects out. And then we focused when all of those, we took all of those and we were still over, we looked at projects where we could potentially cut down on the development of top structures. So you'll see that in all of the regions, with the exception of the Garden Route, we've dropped in sites and units, the departmental projects, we've dropped to 973 sites and then 1,292 units. Excuse me. My apologies for that. In the Cape Winelands, we've got 1,337 sites and 865 units. Overberg, 314 sites and 691 units. And then Central Karoo, we didn't have projects that were ready in that area. Garden Route, 2,249 units and 2,196 sites. West Coast, 824 units and 196 sites. And then in Oxcap, we've got 728 units. Now that's an increase of the previous cycle, and that really is as a result of individual FLIS subsidies. So we've got a number of FLIS units that will come online in this financial year that we've been developing, and as such, we need to be able to hand over these FLIS subsidies to beneficiaries who will be benefiting from the program. And I will explain that a little bit later when I get to the innovations components. So if we look at the programs, you'll see that there has been a cut in the FLIS, and in how much money we're spending on FLIS, and that usually is construction costs, not subsidy costs. And then we've got cuts all the way along in terms of the different programs as well. This budget, we've also allocated 1.2 million to planning, NHBRC costs, all the additional little things that need to complement how we deliver. So going forward, we have non-negotiables in terms of how we are planning our budgets. We want to ensure alignment to the National Department strategic agenda, to the provincial priorities, to the priority housing development areas. We must ensure that the special development framework is taken into account. We must make sure that we are identifying projects which respond to the demand within that particular area. We need to look at capital investment. So is transport infrastructure there? When are schools planned as well? And we must ensure that all these projects are in the IDP. And we want to see longer term 5-year planning projects and plan in line with that. We need to understand bound capacity and efficiency, as well as other spending for other departments looking at area. We want to see that the municipalities can spend the money. It's no point allocating money and then they cannot spend that money. And then the last one we want to see is innovation. What are they coming forward? What are they partnering with? And how are they guiding innovation? So, the province, to complement the shortcomings in terms of budget, have focused on partnerships. So we want to see ourselves as an enabler and what can we put in place to unlock partner funding. And we've done that through employer-assisted housing partnerships. So the province has developed a partnership feasibility analysis
we want to see the partnerships are mutually beneficial. So if you come into our department, you can't see that government is the only one that contributes. You have to be adding value to what we are bringing to the table as well. We have actually two partners. For example, if a landowner comes to us and we sit there to make his land available, if we house these workers, but the land is situated on the top of a mountain, steep typology, there's no park services, it's got no planning approval, and the expectation is that we will pay for all of this. It is not a mutually beneficial partnership for the department. So we developed an analysis partner which sifts out which our projects were submitting human resources on and financial resources on, and others where partners are getting a charge. We've approved two partnerships, Azov Carton and Sanaf, that's one in the West Coast and one in the Cape Winelands municipality. Within 4 years, has come on board and has proceeded to significant investment into housing workers, while we in turn provide opportunity for us to find the middle ground. We've also looked at sector partnerships, so we have a partnership agreement with the Banking Association of South Africa and with the Big Five banks, Nedbank, Access, Standard Bank, First National Bank, as well as Capitec. And what we're doing, and of course all the social housing institutions, what we do through these partnerships is investigate things like revised psychology. So identifying the psychology, if a beneficiary, a first beneficiary, an affordable housing beneficiary, can only afford a house of 250 or 300,000 rand, then we need to develop a product that the bank will approve in terms of development finance that's smaller, but can accommodate the psychology, can accommodate the budget. So we work with the bank in terms of what psychology can be designed, what they need to do, and what they need to approve, so that we can lower the cost of the product to our final beneficiary. The other thing that we would then do with the financial institutions is that we partner in terms of our credit readiness program. I'm going to jump in here a little bit. But we are piloting a consumer readiness program where we invest between 3,000 and 4,000 rand in a particular household that's been screened by the bank. So all of our banks with three potential households, we identify where they have problems, we then help that beneficiary rehabilitate, so that by the time the unit comes online, we have a ready beneficiary. In that way, we then save the marketing costs, the test agent costs, the bond originating costs that would normally occur on a first unit. So a small investment essentially saves up to 50,000 rand when we look at the overall cost of the unit, again bringing our unit costs down. With our social housing institutions, besides the projects that we deliver, we also share in terms of resource knowledge capacity, providing innovative thinking toward how we guide social housing development within the sector, within the province. And in research partnerships, we look at Stellenbosch University, we look at Tanya Ricardo's research and those kinds of things, using the human resources at the university to complement the capacity within the province. So this is where I started from the view of consumer readiness program. We wanted to drive consumer readiness through looking at innovation and how we use what we have within our department to support knowledge production outside of our region. So I spoke to the consumer readiness program. What we're also hoping to do, or what we intend to roll out in the next few months, is our first housing voucher scheme. So where we've managed to get persons going through our consumer readiness program, and they now have, they're now clean. They can go to the bank will then, we have screened them, they've been approved by more than one or two banks. We will give that person a housing voucher, a guarantee of a first subsidy. So they can either go look for a property, or they can consider buying one of the properties that have been developed by the municipality. We're also looking with our federal balance municipality in the Overberg region at a deferred ownership approach, which is essentially they call it a rent-to-buy model. The current way rent-to-buy model works, it doesn't work. So we're trying to find a way to make it work for persons who are working and may have some challenges. And it's a pilot, we're going to see how if we can make it work and then identify a way forward, hopefully to document the test study so that we can guide our deferred ownership
of the affordable housing market, and then we're looking at investments as well in fine, and that should be upcoming, up and running in March, where we would then evaluate the units and the money essentially revolves at the washing machine. Getting to a point over a unit cost of about $300,000, $325,000, we cannot reach the down lower middle income market, and we have to aim at that to keep a quick payment. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to my colleague Tina Maya to take us through the JVTMA. Sanitation and sewage. But what we see is that while we are improving living conditions, there are communities that are not that are still living in worse conditions, and there is still challenges in terms of equal services to different communities. We see that communities have concerns about where they live, how they access services and economic opportunities. We see that there isn't enough innovation, given the limited funding, not just for universities, but for all departments, that our funding isn't being brought together in a central point to maximize the urban dividend, essentially, to reap benefits from each other's investment. So we need to find a new way of making this work, and we look at the joint district development approach. So we look at what is the role of local government, and what do we need to provide in terms of governance, service delivery, how do we ensure growth and prosperity within different communities, and what is our role in coordinating that we provide better opportunities for our citizens, protecting rights and basic needs. And we came across, we then looked at what are the challenges in terms of this. So lack of collaboration between the different departments and different spheres of government, the different government agencies, leads to different budgeting priorities. So we all do different things. We look at ideas for all of our municipalities, all of our government agencies. We don't necessarily plan in the same way. So we still have the provinces and the national department planning our ACTs, but the municipalities don't necessarily input. At the same time, we have our municipalities preparing their IDPs, but the provinces are not necessarily inputting either. So we go one way, they go the other way, and somehow we expect our communities who are caught in the middle to benefit or to be happy with what we're doing. We then looked at the joint district and metro approach, where we need the following three things to go. We need to ensure sustainable service delivery, we need to see developmental local government, and then we need to ensure that there's capacity at a municipal level to provide improved life, this improved quality of life for our citizens. And to do that, for a joint district approach, we need to have functioning IGR structures, we need to have developmental projects and developmental approaches, and then we need to see collaboration and coordination. And we thus came across the joint development, joint district approach, joint district and metro approach, because we want to include our municipalities as well. So it's a team-based approach, and we look at ways to provide our government services together. So the characteristics of local government and good governance work together to improve the lives of our citizens. And we do this through the following principles. We look at joint planning initiatives. So we have district interface teams, which consists of departmental and municipal representatives doing our planning together. We look at how we speak to each other. So we've got the district coordinating forum, and together at this platform, we look at planning, budgeting, and implementation of projects. We look at it across provinces, across provincial departments, and then also between government, provincial government, national government, and the municipalities, vertically and horizontally. We look at how we collaborate, co-planning, budgeting, implementation, and then we develop one single plan. So we develop four development initiatives. We align our strategic priorities and planning priorities. We look at service delivery and capacity building. Now, the district development approach aligns to what the province is doing. We've got the district development model that was approved by the cabinet in August 2019, and it speaks to, like I've just also alluded to, how we integrate service delivery.
All right. Are you not You know, on the webmail, no?
Sorry, I think Mr. Spang
When you open up the webmail...
Okay, I've just used it. Okay, so may I continue, ma'am?
Continue, Mr. Zen, can you mute your mic? Proceed, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
total of 856 million in the current year in terms of grant funded projects. On slide 20, Honourable Chair, we give a breakdown of the total grants to the Cape Winelands, West Coast District, Garden Route, Karoo Central and the Overberg District in terms of the way the funds are split between MISIG, RBIG and MIG. On slide 21, once again, the RBIG, we just give you some detail in terms of what is Schedule 5B and Schedule 6B. Three regional bulk infrastructure projects are planned for under construction, which are the Cape Winelands and two in the West Coast District Municipality. For WISIG, which is essentially a Schedule 5B grant, we have seven WISIG projects under construction, five in the West Coast and two in the Eden District Municipality. In terms of the municipal infrastructure grant, there are 108 big projects which are underway at the moment, 15 in the West Coast, 45 in the Garden Route, 19 in Cape Winelands, 14 in Overberg. Looking at the West Coast District Municipality, Honourable Chair, we give the same type of information broken down in the grant finances. So regional bulk infrastructure grants, we've got funding in Matsukama and Cedarburg in the West Coast. And that's the driver of that is water security for the housing development in both cases. On slide 24, we indicate the water services infrastructure grants in Matsukama, which is the upgrading of the Friedendahl pump station, Bitterfontein pump stations, Bitterfontein, the refurbishment of sewer related upgrades. Likewise, upgrading of the wastewater treatment works, Poppendorf potable water reservoir and supply pipelines, and oxidation ponds and rising lake. In terms of the research, we just give some more detail in Matsukama and also Matsukama in terms of the 5B allocation. And that's on slide 25, where we are refurbishing of the pump station, modification of the slow sand filters and stabilization tanks, the upgrading of the Friedendahl sewer pump stations, a new 1 megalitre concrete reservoir, and a new elevated reservoir, a new wastewater treatment works in Matsukama, a new clarifier with pipe connections, and refurbishment of aerators. So those are the research 5B allocations at the end of slide 26. Going to slide 27, in Cedarburg, it's the upgrading of craft water observation ponds, the raw water craft water, and the Lumberts Bay borehole development. Also, research 5B allocations. Madam Chair, we list the 18 projects which are MIG funded. I won't go through those line by line, but there are 18 projects there giving us an 82 million rand investment in MIG funded projects. In the Garden Route District Municipality, we likewise will give that information. Bulk infrastructure, we don't have anything allocated there. Under the WISIG, we've got in Cunnelant a deep boil, which we're doing in Carlisdorp, and in Otsur and the Karoo Scream, where we are contributing 26 million rand. Madam Chair, many of the projects in the Western Cape do also rely on co-funding from the municipalities. So there is a co-funding arrangement on a number of the projects down there. So in Cunnelant, it's a replacement of in terms of the projects 2021, it's the replacement of asbestos pipes, which you will see on slide 32. In Oatswin, it's a replacement of the valves and the refurbishment of pumps and blowers at the water treatment works. It's a refurbishment of mechanical equipment and installation of telemetry control systems. on slide 33. That's the drought intervention, which is the Blossoms emergency pipe upgrade in Oudtshoorn, where the budget of 30 million was set aside, and that project is ongoing. On slide 34, there are 20, slide 34 and 35, we list the, let me just go back, slide 34, 35 and 36, we listed there the 47 MIG projects which have been implemented in the within the district municipality with a total investment of 130 million. And I'm not going to go through those 40 projects line by line, if you don't mind, grant in the Karoo district. Drought intervention, we don't have funding there, but on the MIG projects, there are 16 projects funded there, from ranging from new supply pipelines, stormwater crossings, reservoirs, and those 16 projects cover an investment of 26.9 million rand, and you'll find that on slide 42. In the Overberg district municipality, there's no regional bulk allocations there. On slide 48, you will see in the Overberg, it's mainly MIG funded projects, and there are 17 projects with a value of 71 million, which you will see on slide 48, which have been implemented. In the Cape Winelands district municipality, we have an old big project, that's a slide 50 in Witzenberg, that which is the Tuurbach bulk water, and that's for the long-term water security on that project as well. There's nothing from the water services infrastructure to grant, and the balance of the project in the Cape Winelands are big funded projects, of which there are 20, and with a total value of 70 million. And Madam Chair, that brings me to the last slide, which is just to thank you and thank you for the opportunity giving me just to go through those slides in the detail that I have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, thank you,
Professor
Trevor. Can we then go to over the portable and the annual settlement claim?
Madam Chair, that will be done by Pakamani Butalezi, and he will slide his slides. I'm going to get them to remove it now. Thanks, thanks Pakamani. Can you fly your presentation, please? I will sit back and Pakamani will take you through the presentation. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, fishing is on water delivery plans for the for our area responsibility. Was in the country, which is the one in Western Cape, established in 1993. Its area of operation is mainly servicing the Overberg region district at the moment, while there are plans of moving over to the west coast. So in the Overberg is the Overberg region. The next slide here shows the our pipe distribution, which is mainly PVC.
Excuse me, there are no slides
up here. Okay. Can someone who controls allow me to share the screen? Or alternative that can continue. Chair? Okay, let me see. Can you see now?
Not yet. Yes, we can see it now.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you very much. This light, maybe this lights our pipeline distribution, which is mainly made up of PVC pipe steel, and another program in place that we have embarked on to ensure all those pipes that are currently giving us problems as the water board. And our focus is mainly divided over a period up to 2061 as per the master plan, and the big that come up with would be shared later on. It suffices to say, and even the tariff, sorry, we managed our infrastructure as we move on. But as over the water, we want to ensure that our vision becomes a reality of becoming a leading water regional utility that provides sustainable and competitive water sanitation services for the region. Hence, we need to invest in our infrastructure. We are basically following our strategic objectives as shared and defined with our principal head, which is the Department of Water Sanitation. These are customer and stakeholder engagement, financial resources, processing and operation. In terms of the plan, they put the broadcast strategy in place, which went in hand with the district model, because these are the districts that we have targeted, and under each district we are currently engaging with each and every municipality so that we are providing with them with both wastewater, bulk water in those areas, and also practical and do some project specific assignments such as managing their pipeline replacement. Slide will show you our plans and the capacity. This is our capacity is 9.5, but we can provide more if we can upgrade that pipeline and also have a direct provision of water to the data. There are great discussions between over the water and over the municipality to provide them with funding water. However, those discussions have not moved in inch because due to funding. We approach all the relevant funding institutions, including the TBSA, who have not yet become successful. We're hoping that as we continue, we would be successful. But the bottom line is our water is capable of providing them with more water. And then the same applies to increasing our capacity to Caledon. The increase of capacity goes hand in hand with the replacement of our pipeline network. Because we have to replace them, the asbestos mainly in the steel, because they giving us the same applies to our resident east, which is the Soledad area. We have capacity there to extract more and to provide more water. If we do not do that, it also affects the development of smaller towns within the district. And it is important to perceive it. We are looking at it as one where we provide water, and then water goes hand in hand with the development of those smaller towns that we are providing water to. The same applies to Devonox, where our current capacity is 5 megaliter per day, but there's a potential to go bigger than that, to exceed it so that we can provide water to various smaller towns around Riversdale and Langrothi. I think the other issue is it is dependent on how best we do insofar as water use authorization licensing is concerned. There was a history that we have now resolved with the department where we think the water use application probably infrastructure, it was not appropriately
when there was a change of the regime between the department and the CMA. We are in negotiation with the CMA to ensure that the hotel's authorization license process is funded. This one, and clearly it shows the actual as well as what we are based on the actual. You could see that there is a fluctuating demand for water in mainly in the Rosebud West, which is Caledon area. And when you look at the Soil and Dam area, you could see that there's a strong demand to increase the water capacity that we provide to our customers, which means our water use authorization license is indeed justified in the sense that there's a sharp increased demand for water. Besides that, in these particular small towns, water is about development. The more water is available, the more development that can happen. The same applies to Devonox, which we have seen a sharp increase of our water, and then we need to ensure that our water license authorization licenses meet the demand that we want to address. As I said earlier on, we're mainly providing water to Rosebud West, which is the municipality, directly to the Caledon town, as well as the brewery. And then there has been a demand from the brewery to get more water, but the availability also is a challenge for us because we cannot provide more than what we can extract from the river. It's something that we are currently in negotiations with the PGCMA, who are now the authority of water use authorization license. When you look at our master plan, it is very, very clear that there is room for growth for all of the water, but that room for growth also goes hand in hand with management and improvement as well as upgrade of our pipeline network and the water system as a whole. We have a projection that says if there's a low growth, the current network can take us, for example, up to 2025. And to manage that as part of maintenance, that would make us to require an amount of 692 million rand. If there's a medium growth, that medium growth would take us up roughly up to 2040. That would mean the current infrastructure would take us to up to 2450. And then if it's a high growth, that infrastructure will take us to 2051. In short, we have to ensure that our pipelines, our networks are properly managed, are properly maintained, and are properly upgraded because they are old, and as well as they are giving us a lot of problems if they're not properly maintained. The next one, it shows what is the actual between the Caledon town and Hazelbeck Pleasant Field, which indicates that there is indeed to increase our water supply within the area, and then with the retail water supply, as I said earlier on, we do provide water mainly to our farmers, as well as some industrial activities. All of them, they require more water. The more water we give, the more development that we see in our district, which is like at the moment, the Overberg region. While at the same time, we are in negotiations with the West Coast district to provide some local needs, such as Matikama, and so on. Again, this one shows the actual versus the budget. As you could see, it is that when you look at the actual, as you could see that the actual, it's in certain areas it varies over time. But based on our projections, we project that the population growth will be around 1 to 2%, and we need to match that growth in all of these towns. The next slide really shows is the actual and what is licensed based on the projection. For example, in 2016 there was an overstruction. That is due to the water restrictions in place. The demand at that time was quite increasing from the start, but we did do our best to ensure that that demand is well managed and is according to the government rule. Interestingly, when 2026, to see that there would be a sharp increase of water, that would have to be based on the population projection. The same applies to and also the same applies to all our schemes. There is a demand to increase water. As I said, infrastructure projects, we need to upgrade all our infrastructure. Our current target at the moment wants to upgrade the Western pipeline, which is old and it gives us problems. It's always great. It's always the best water out. It always loses water. It's something that we need to upgrade. We also need to ensure that all our systems are of sound, and also we need to upgrade our electrical system. This is the short on the water delivery plans that we have that we have been requested to present. Let me check.
Thank you.
Chairperson.
Hello.
Sorry to have interrupted you before you finished stating your statement. I'm member Shelly Mukhotu. I'm not satisfied about the presentation of overbed. When you look at it, most of it consists of drawings, it consists of graphs, and then which needs a person to have more information to be able to interpret those graphs, those diagrams. And then, we for example, I saw those graphs, I saw those diagrams, but it was very difficult for me to understand, you know, what was going on. They should have put more flesh on, you know, those graph diagrams. And if you look on page 17, 18, 19, it's just a lot of, you know, numbers, you know, without any flesh. I can't even understand what is happening there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Chairperson?
Yes,
you can take over first. That was the last presentation from over there.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Mbana, let me start with you so that you can take.
Person to test whether the targeted or the target for the Western Cape, they have presented to us that they will reach those targets 2021 March. Now you get them telling us about the number that will benefit out of the scheme, that is only 650. And also the title deed that they will be looking at, it's only 10. The numbers are very low. If I can get the clarity on why are these numbers so low, knowing exactly that there's a lot of demand in Western Cape in terms of these rental units that they think they will deliver, is 34 units. And they are saying they will devolve to municipality. Why is that? With waterbed, yes, most of the presentation is full up of drawings, more than words. Yes, we got the explanation in some, but
the reality of the matter, we are not interested in drawings and diagrams. We are interested to get the information on what is it that is taking place in over the quarter. So, Mr. Elezi should assist us in terms of providing with the information, more information than the diagram. The one of Mr. Trevor, the department. Yeah, most of the things he will present to us and telling us that it was not supposed to be this, it's supposed to be this. And what is it that we're going to take to the people if someone that has been written down black and white, it's not something that is being presented to us? What and how are we going to approach that situation? I'm not going to get into slide by slide, but he knows exactly the slides that he will say, I noticed this one now, and then it's like this, it's not like that one. Let me stop there, Chairperson, for now. I will come in next time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Powell.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd just like to say thank you very much to all of the officials who presented today in very difficult circumstances. I know that there's load shedding across the country, which is impacting on a lot of people's connectivity. I've got a number of questions, but as you know, my focus is DHS, so they're specifically focused on the housing presentation. I'd firstly, obviously, like to congratulate the Western Cape Provincial Human Settlements Department for achieving 98% payment rate on invoices paid within 30 days. I'd also like to extend my congratulations to the MEC and his senior officials for having achieved a 100% expenditure trend on the Human Settlements Development Grant over the past 3 financial years. A few questions. I know that my colleague just briefly touched on the Title Deed program. We will all recall that when we passed the supplementary budget in June, that the National Department of Human Settlements took 377 million rand off the Title Deed program nationally. I'd like to understand from the Human Settlements officials how the reductions in the Title Deed budget allocations are going to impact the Western Cape's ability to distribute Title Deed. Then I'd also like to know how the ongoing budget cuts being meted by the National Department of Human Settlements are going to impact on the Western Cape provincial government's ability to provide housing in the context of the rapid urbanization that we see in the Western Cape and City of Cape Town. I would like to understand what support the provincial department is receiving from the national department in mitigating the ongoing violent land invasions and vandalism of planned and pressed housing development. The statistics that were given to us were quite scary, and they seem to indicate an orchestrated attempt destabilize planned housing in the Western Cape in some regards. So the question there is, what assistance is the Western Cape provincial government receiving from the national department? And then just touching on the APP talks about sort of skills retention and identifies the type of intellect capacity due to retirement as a risk for the department going forward. Is the department currently putting plans in place to develop retention skills development to ensure that there's a pipeline for young professionals? That's all for now for me. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Powell, Honorable Masala.
Thank you so much, Jefferson. Firstly, I would like to ask the people of the presentation on the screen to remove it. Now we are with the
can we see each other here, but we want to see one another. Thank you. Chairperson, my first question is, the country is facing a serious problem of cutting off expenditure, which is consistent to austerity measures. Housing development under program K have experienced the largest decrease of 225 million, which represents a nominal decrease of 10.12% in relation to the department's capacity to deliver on its mandate. The department is required to provide mandatory technical support to implement projects effectively and efficiently. It is stated, however, in the APP that the support cannot be provided if the department cannot point the necessary special needs within the organization as a result of constrained budget. There is an increase in number of informal settlement in Western Cape, which is caused by the inability of the government to provide settlement housing stock to meet the growth in urbanization. We have evidence gruesome evictions which are happening in this area. How is the department going to deal with this? Hence the budget constraint. Does the department envision that the rate of urbanization will continue to escalate amid the COVID-19 pandemic? Or is the department anticipating that people will be seeking to relocate to more rural areas to avoid densely populated space, and as a result of long-term waiting from home agreement? Chairperson, I'm getting disturbed. This noise coming, I don't know what is. Can you ask the people to mute their mic? Okay, I think the chair is gone, let me carry on. Number two, after the presentation, water delivery was delivered to... Chairperson, after the presentation, water delivery, I think it's the department presentation, water delivery was delivered to 7,573 households in Monwabisi Park informal settlement by the end of 27 March 2020. What about the people of Mpome? Drive on in what 101, Khayelitsha what 94, 96 and 98. And the people of Mpume in what 108 and 114. What are they drinking since there's no water? There's no access to water in those areas where they are. Number three, the number of households in informal settlement with access to water is higher than the number of households with no sanitation. You know what is the problem? The problem is we don't take our people serious, because majority of the people that live in informal settlement are black majority. So what is the cause? When are we going to ensure that we prioritize informal settlements in terms of sanitation in order to restore their dignity? On page 8 of Department of Water and Sanitation presentation on water issues in the Western Cape, what are the reasons for the Stellenbosch local municipality, Cape Algahart and Swellendam local municipality not complying with water services development plan for 2017 to 2020? And on page 9, could the Department of Water and Sanitation provide details of non-compliant of state on status of water services planning and reporting in certain local municipalities? What has been the impact of ARBIC and WISIC budget cuts due to COVID-19 on the future of ongoing water and sanitation infrastructure projects?
Lastly, Chair, how will the province now work towards establishing and developing social housing within the inner city? This issue was vividly highlighted in the recent court cases in relation to the sale of Dapelberg site. And the other thing is there are two NGOs reclaiming the city and Difuna Ugwali. Although critical of housing development in the province, also has a lot in terms of research and advocacy in the province. Is the province developing partnership with such NGOs as the research and advocacy can enhance the work of the province? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Mo.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. When I'm done, I'm going to put up in the air for some to come out. I'm going to put up in the air. Oh, right here, I'm going to put up in the air. So, on a serious note now, the opening, just an opening, I think we shall have raised this point. It needed the court to employ women's settlement in Western Cape and Cape Town to take interest of the homelessness of people in Western Cape at the point that they create mini companies and sell the land of Cape Town among themselves to deny black people access to space and land in the inner city. And I hope this time both the Cape Town municipality and the Western Cape province will respect the court order, because we have been saying this thing that there is a concerted effort to drive black people away from Cape Town and create Cape Town as a Europe in the country of Africa. And that court order confirms. I get a sense that this Western Cape report is a tick-of-the-box report maliciously complying to the call that they must come and present. And the issue that Mambane has raised, which I will talk to one between one or two sentences. But I really don't get a sense of willingness to report proper progress rather than creating progress to be thought to have been done, not to be seen to have been done. An example says, the Western Cape, and we were staying in Cape Town, we are waiting there. Western Cape is the second shack city in South Africa to Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape has got more shacks followed by Western Cape. But when allowed space to plan for human settlement in Western Cape, you are told you are going to build 10 units. You are going to build 34 units in a year. Both the city and the province are comfortable with that. In the issues that we are saying people should account how many units that they committed to do, they ashamedly believe they want to build 8,528 units for 1,907,751. It is when you are not even afraid to say anything, even if it is wrong, for as long as you say it for competitive purposes, you can say it. And we should just agree. In the presentation of Western Cape, I'm just capturing Western Cape, they are saying, in order for them to give money to the misfired, this is Western Cape government, for them to give money to the municipalities for them, in order for them to develop, it's not Western Cape good government. They would want a plan, if there's no plan, they will not give money. And they are not expecting the same, that if they do not have plans as Western Cape province, they will not get money from National. If National asks them, what are your plans, and want to give them money based on the plans, then you are enabling a province not to get money. But they do the same in the municipalities. We even, as National, speak the language of top sliding in order to achieve this or achieve that. Western Cape believe that must not happen to them. And they report it like that. It is in that manner that they do not care to who are they reporting, why they are reporting. For them, it's compliance. I honestly find it a little bit undermining the way listening to this report. They say in the process test that the size of a unit and the typology of the unit they will build gets determined by the price. If whoever is going to build the house subsidy process, if I qualify for 235,000, as she gave an example, the presenter, 235,000 land only, and you are not going to get a proper house in the city of Cape Town for 235. I'm saying in the city of Cape Town, because the city of Cape Town is expensive. It is in Europe, so the cheapest house in Cape Town you can get is above million. So if you see that, but people that qualify for 235,000 and the price will determine the size of the house, they will never be in Cape Town. It means they must be, they will be somewhere in personal garden on your way to Kimberley, not necessarily in Cape Town. And then they present it as if it is correct to present such things. And the question I would want to ask as a process on the human settlement, they want to build on the rent to buy Brexit. Yes, you cannot afford to rent the house in Cape Town if you are waiting for if you are a business person or small businessman in Cape Town, you can't. If you are waiting for companies like Transnet, you can't. Cape Town is expensive. So if you could talk about rent to buy process, you mean people that come from Europe who come and rent for them to buy our land. And our land is owned by Europeans in the final land. Because you must also be our mind from the fact. Remember, our people that sometimes get to rent out, they sometimes waiting for their human settlement subsidy to be passed, and want to use the subsidy to buy the houses they are renting. Obviously, if you're unemployed, you are renting them to buy. At some point, that subsidy will come, and that subsidy will never come to you. Therefore, you can't buy that house. And when you want to, that those people to move out of the house because someone else wants to buy. The challenge you will get, they will tell you that I've been saying this out for many years, and now you are removing me. You're going to be difficult to remove. Then you're going to run a loss on the random stuff that you wanted to do. Moving to another presentation, That's a confirmation of what I'm saying. And I'm not complaining. I don't want to make it an issue. I think let's just accept it. But let me just raise it as a consequence of Malaysia's compliance. The country has got something called District Development Model. Western Cape has got its own name, Joint Development Approach. It is aimed at the same thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be innovative. To me, it is on the base of you saying, I can say whatever I want to say, I'm fine. You don't even care. In your presentation, you present and use the district model approach. But in your topic, you can't write that because you don't believe you belong to the very same concept. You are somewhere in Europe. And in the presentation which Mambara is raising, without necessarily referring to the numbers, I want to refer to the numbers. When I read this report on the specific the JGA status quo, I got it, honestly speaking, that these people are not taking us seriously as members of parliament. How do you write and send us a report that says you have your first joint development approach meeting on the 20th of November 2020? And we sent it to God in August 2020. We sent it. We then say in the Vatican report, we had our second report in December 2020. That's our second meeting. In December 2020. And we sent it to God in August 2020. Finally, you say no. Your third meeting was in February 2020. So your meeting is not in February. And if you don't see that as anything wrong, it does to show that you do not care who you are going to send this report to. You don't look read what you are sending to us. For example, if Malaysia is so sent, you are competent. And you believe we should take it seriously. That indeed you are trying to do your way. It's a problem. Now, as a question again, in the presentation by the status quo, is that of the numbers you are accounting to that you have committed to do, Western Cape does their own in the future way. Now, presently we are being made to account as to how did you use our PPPs and so forth and so on. How did you spend from the 500 billion that we have? You are going to account, are you going to account also for what you can do? If not, when are you going to find out what is the source that you have taken to use? Who can that? What is the name of the company that like you are going to do, national? Are we going to know when was the tender advertised? What was the tender price money? What was the tender awarded? And what is it that you paid? And what was the price? And when we accept from the national parliament, the cabinet moves that, are we going to get the same promotion? And if yes, when? Because we really also need them to account like all other people account. Finally, Chair, we resolved that the coast, Cape Town, Eastern Cape, Durban, must give us a plan of water desalination. And for instance, they reported that there is a place where we were entering 1% water level, 69% water level. The possibility that we might go back to 10% and 3% of water level in the dam can come. But there is no plan that we can hear from Western Cape. When are we getting the pricing, the difficulty, all the success or failure on water distribution process that we ask them to? And
Thank you, Honorable Mashiro, Honorable Maputo.
Thank you, Chair. My first question is going to be directed to Western Cape province. When is the Western Cape Human Settlement Department going to make land accessible to the poor South African citizens who live in Cape Town, who are unemployed or do not have a source of income, in order to enable them to build houses for themselves, since the government has failed them, or even the province itself has failed the poor people? And when is the province, including the government, going to stop selling land in Cape Town at exorbitant prices in order to deny ordinary people of South Africa to own land in Cape Town? When are you going to stop selling land at prices which only a rich minority, especially white people, can afford to buy, and even foreigners from America and Europe who come here and buy land which, you know, is cheap for them, because when they come here with dollars and pounds, and as a result they are able to own land. But we, the people of South Africa, even if we want to build houses or stay in Cape Town, we cannot afford to do so. And then the Department of Human Settlement in Western Cape has reduced the transfers and subsidies made to households from 1.9 billion to 1.74 billion, even though you know that we are having a serious housing problem in Western Cape. Why have you cut the budget if you are really serious about reducing the backlog in housing and, you know, having the welfare of our black people, majority of the black people who are poor, who are going to, who are in informal settlements, or who are even evading the land because they do not have any choice. They do not have anyone, you know, who has their welfare at heart. Another question is, in Prince Albert, we have the new Gama water waste treatment plant, which has an ailing infrastructure challenges coupled with additional load from new housing developments. You stated in your presentation that the upgrade is underway, but you did not give us the timeline. We want the time frame. You also stated that the BGCMA is an intergovernment task team which is to address the non-compliance at the Klerksdorp water waste treatment plan, but you have not stated the timeline. I want you to give us the timeline. In Stellenbosch water waste treatment works, the Department of Water and Sanitation treated effluents do not meet the Department of Water and Sanitation standards, and the municipality has been given a directive to deal with this issue. What I would like to know is that after the Department of Water and Sanitation has given the directive to the Stellenbosch management, who
are in charge of the water waste treatment plant there. What I would like to know is that did the department equip them or incapacitate them so that in future they are able to meet the standards required by it? Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member of the CA. I didn't get the name properly. Honorable Member of the CA.
Are you talking to me, Claire?
The one that represents the alternate member.
Yes, Honourable Samantha Graham Murray.
Yes, I'm referring to Honourable Samantha.
Yes, hi Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity and thank you for the presentation. Chair, just a couple of things that I would like to ask the department to elaborate on. Can they please give an indication of the monthly or annual influx of people into the Western Cape from other provinces and the necessitated burden that places on the Human Settlements Department with respect to trying to provide housing for these additional people that are now looking for accommodation? Another question I would like to ask is whether or not the inner city is being looked at with a view to providing high-rise buildings as potential flat accommodation for people, so that we move away from the one plot, one house idea of housing and look at other forms of housing that can be provided to people that need accommodation. And then also, if they can just elaborate, the 202 million rand that has been lost, and that's money that's allocated by national government. So the budget for these projects doesn't come from the province. The province is now required to work within the budgetary constraints that they are provided by the national government. And they speak of 2,185 sites and 1,417 units. That will obviously then be for this year, but with the housing backlog, that then gets added on. So what sort of backlog are they carrying over every single year as a result of the budget cuts that come from national government? And then also they spoke about the amount of money that has been spent on land invasions and what that would have cost, what that would have resulted in had that money have been used to provide housing. So they spoke about the 60.4 million rand that's already been spent this year and the cost with respect to the plots that have been cleared, the house, the vehicles that have been damaged, the injuries on duty. And that 464 housing units have been lost as a result of that. In addition, another 80 million rand has been spent on the vandalized and extension of time allocations due to this violence. So the impact of these land invasions, while we understand the need is great and the homelessness is a massive issue, the impact of these land invasions is having a great bearing on the ability of the province to work within the constrained budgetary requirements that they are being given to provide housing. So if they can maybe just elaborate a little bit more on what the actual cost of land invasions is to the housing process that's happening in the province. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, can you hear me?
Hey.
We hear you.
I find that Chair, I'm using two gadgets because I've got a problem with the old one. So I'm trying to keep the other one off. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, can you come back to me? Let me sort out.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question is that how much of the dead funds transferred to municipalities has been spent? And then two, why did the Western Cape inform the National Department on human settlement not to allocate more tax deed funds when there is still a huge backlog on issue of tax deeds in the province? My other question, Chair, can the province give us a breakdown of the title issued pre and post 1994? If they don't have the information now, they can send it through the 22nd September. My other question, Chair, is in the previous years, the city of Cape Town used excuses that violence and riots were the reason it could not meet the urban settlement development grant target. Remember, the USD is meant to provide services such as light, sewage and streets, etc. to our people living in unbearable conditions in Cape Town. Areas like are still struggling to get data services. What plans do you have as the province to rectify the situation? My other question, Chair, can the Western Cape presenters speak to the procurement processes that is followed by the Western Cape administration and whether they follow and comply with the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition designating local content legislation or all policies that ensure that black industrialist programs are supported in the entire value chain? And can they give us a breakdown of how they are implementing the set aside target of 30% to allocate to women, youth and persons with disabilities in the province, Chair? And the other question, Chair, what programs do they have to upgrade or build accommodation for people living in Helen Joseph at hospital next to Woodstock? The city of Cape Town has led the sewage spill over. We saw children walking and playing next to the sewage. The building does not have electricity and water, yet the city is alleged to spend millions on a private security at the Helen Joseph Hospital site. Can we suddenly collect on that, Chair? My last comment, Chair. The Western Cape High Court recently handed a landmark judgment, uploaded judgment, yesterday that will go a long way in transforming of land ownership and redress of apartheid special development law with respect to social housing.
and confirm the long-held view that the Western Cape government is not interested in the provision of social housing to the black people and continue to support apartheid special development law that puts our black people far away from the city center and its associated economic opportunities. The Western Cape housing policies have been declared unconstitutional. In this regard, Chairperson, I would like to know, how is the Western Cape going to rectify the situation and align its housing policy with the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa? This judgment exonerates the Minister of Human Settlement too, of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation, in her view that the Western Cape government housing policies are not aligned to the national housing policy. It is about time, Chairperson, that the Western Cape government swallow its pride, honorable power, and allow the national department under the leadership of the Minister to assist.
Honorable Are you asking me a question, Honorable Teki?
No, no, I'm not asking you. I'm raising the matter to the province.
What was the chimp? You say, Honorable Powell, are you asking me something?
Oh, no, no, I'm not asking you something, Honorable Powell, through the chair,
member. Honorable, order, member. Honorable, Honorable, Teki. It's not your position to tell the
Chairperson, thank you very much. Just to repeat what I said, just to summarize, Chair, we would like to know, how is the Western Cape going to rectify this?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I think Member Mvana has covered me on most points. But Chair, as Honorable Powell and Honorable Mushala must be honest for themselves. And the person that just joined us today from DA, the issue of what they call austerity measures or budget cuts, it was budget cuts based on COVID. And it was a thorough consultation with all political parties. And their leaders were smiling on TV, congratulating the president's leader in relation to the intervention that the president has made. Now they come here on this platform, they become a federal organization against what national top of order. And they retract to make such statements. We are not here to score points. We are not here politicking, but we are representing the masses of the people that need this service that the ANC-led government is offering or providing to them.
We are
so
here.
I'm worried about this. And Member Sarah and Member Powell, continue to renegade from the decisions they were part of when the president was consulting them.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Powell.
Issues of Western
Cape. Honorable
Chairperson,
Honorable Seki is casting aspersions directly against other members of this committee, myself included, and I would ask you that you ask that you call him to order and that he address his statements and his comments to the officials and to the deputy ministers on this platform, and that he refrain from casting personalized aspersions against the fellow members of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
The order
is sustained. Honorable Seki, talk to the issues on the table.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, I'm bringing the politics that they are bringing forward, but I respect your ruling. To me, they are just out of order, but I respect your ruling, Chair. Chair, on the Western Cape, I was saying, on the Western Cape, there, I think we have got a pack of petitions. Not long ago, I think a few weeks ago, we were dealing with a petition. So, Chair, I want to class all these issues that the community of Western Cape are crying about in that petition, because we still have to make a follow-up on them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Chairperson.
What is that, Honorable Mkala?
I did not hear Honorable Tseki withdrawing. Can you please withdraw what he said about us? It's very out of order.
No, no, Honorable Member. No,
when the Chairperson
with policy.
No, Honorable
Mkala.
Honorable Mutala, you are very out of order. Honorable Mutala, you must stop doing these things in the meeting. Honorable Mutala, please. Honorable Tafeni.
Honorable Chafeni is not here. I was supposed to forward her apology, but because they were not there, we did not take anything with regards to that. That's why we didn't even apologize.
Thank you, Honorable Mosala. Let's proceed. Honorable Lucia Fasimwe.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've been covered by a number of colleagues. The only comment I want to make is that I would only congratulate the Western Cape the day when the landless people have been allocated land. That's when I will congratulate. I had a member congratulating the presentation. Yes, I appreciate the presentation, but it's so clear when you get to the Western Cape. First thing when you just come from airport, the first thing you see the landless. You see a very, very clear divide of those who've got land and those who do not have. It's such a eyesore. So that's the only time I would really congratulate the Western Cape. One question I have, I want to know what is the relationship between the department, the national department, and the Western Cape government? Because they are monitoring and doing an oversight role. I just want to know what is their relationship there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Ms. Chairperson.
Honorable Sekwai. Thank you, Chair. Apologies for perhaps what has happened, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation from the Western Cape. But my first question, in the presentation, Moderator for Human Settlement, recently Western Cape was in fire. It was in fire. The presentation is not saying anything about that. The question that I want to ask is, what irritated the people of Western Cape to do what they've just done? Because my worry is for the government not to speak about something which was illegal, unconstitutional, when they are presenting a business plan that has to be implemented with this budget to government. What irritated them? And why they are not saying about what has happened? Second issue, Chair. There are existing contracts. While we are to do the review of budget, and have a new business plan. I'm not getting what then, what does that mean in terms of the business plan, in terms of the existing contract that has its own budget within the new budget that has to be put in place for a housing. I'm not getting a direction from that. That's a statement. Also, the bus infrastructure that we have got issues to resolve about them. How I wish that should not raise the issue. It should be a content and evidence, because that has got budget implications. What do you do about that money? What do you do about the new money? What, are you creating new projects? Are you ignoring those ones? What is then going to happen? The other issue, Chair, is the issue of municipalities that seem to be not having a capacity to implement projects. And there's a number of those municipalities. You see, the problem is the raising statements and announcements and not assisting us what then in those particular issues on the basis of the new business plan that are presented to us. The last one, Chair, is the issue of the overbank. That provides water to farmers and industrial areas. The one would like to hear in terms of the measurement, water distribution and budget to domestic people than the farmers. One would like to hear a measurement, how much budget that is utilized and the measurement of water that is given to farmers and industrials vis-a-vis the locals of Cape Town. I think there's something that we need to debate or probe. It's coming bit by bit that Western Cape has taken a resort to do things as they please, to have their own government in terms of dealing with the matters. This is coming for the third time in this presentation. It's something that perhaps we need to engage Chairperson when we've got time, so that we are clear, is Western Cape ruled by the new democratic constitution of this country or not? So that we are clear about the budget of every financial year, where does it go? How much budget do they need? How much budget do they have getting from somewhere? I'm putting that as the umpire goes up. We need to know that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swai. Do I have any honorable members that I have missed? Honorable Agar?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. I really want to apologize. My signal is very bad today, and I've been losing quite a lot of the presentation and some of the meeting comments and questions. So I just want to be very brief, Chair. I don't know if the question has been asked or if the presentation spoke to the densification within the CBDs and densification with regards to new houses being built. So if I can perhaps get a response from the officials there. And then I have been covered with the spatial, apartheid spatial planning that's currently in the city of Cape Town and other major municipalities within the Western Cape. How does the department respond to where our poorer communities are on the outskirts of the municipalities or towns, and where there's no housing opportunity given in the CBDs or closer to their workplace? Those are the two issues I would like to respond to, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable. Honorable Ngwezi. Honorable Ngwezi.
Honorable Sekwai, Mike, mute your mic.
Okay.
I'm now going to allow a department to respond. Maybe just to add one question out of all the questions, department, human settlement. The presentation, when it was presented, indicated that there are a lot of teachers, police, nurses who are staying in the backyard. probably the problem of the market, the gap market. And I just want to check that there was a policy decision that was taken by Department of Public Service allocating resources to housing allowance to that gap. I want to check with the department whether are we working with the Department of Public Service in order to deal with the issue of the gap market, particularly on the lower ranking officials of government. The other issue is on the land invasion. The presenter, as he was presenting, indicated that they've lost a lot of money and indicated that it seems this is an orchestrated activity. Just want to check, is it the perception or the real doing? Because government has to work with intelligence to determine that and arrest those that are orchestrating those invasions in the province. Just to check whether it is a perception or did we work on it and find that it's real. So people were just talking about perception. It's a very wrong perception. those are the two things that I said on my question. The question. Let me allow the department to respond. Let's start with human settlement.
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought I should start because questions that they ask here are more political. Then I want to firstly welcome all the inputs given by members of the committee in all presentations. I want to start by saying the role of the members of parliament is to monitor and do oversight. When we had issue state presenting last week, we agreed that their report is not good, and all of us, nobody defends the state. Now that we have a presentation from the Western Cape, we have members that are defending the presentation. It's a problem for me, and also as a politician. The budget cuts we are talking about are not meant only for the Western Cape. The budget cuts are for all provinces. What is required for everyone is for the provinces to plan and reprioritize their plans accordingly. The province is making a budget cut as an excuse when the city of Cape Town has been dismally failing to spend on the US bridges since inception in 2012. For an example, in the last financial year, we took away from the Western Cape about 60 million as they were not performing well. Again, as at the end of the financial year 2020, in their books, the city had about 210 million not accounted for, meaning we yet to see if that money has been spent or left as unspent money. Only we all put our hands on debt. That's what I'm asking for. That we make sure that we reprioritize as provinces, all of that, all of us. And then when the member said, it's an unfortunate chair, forgive me for what I'm going to say, but the alternate to say we have the numbers that of people that are
end up in Western Cape. It's not good. It's not good. And all we need to say, I want to tell you, as a politician, I'm also a politician, yes. We don't, remember, I mean, all of South Africans have a right to go anywhere they want. Nobody is going to count how many are coming in, because it's not going to be done only in the Western Cape, because we don't count people when they go to other provinces. Why do we count here when it's the Western Cape? And again, sir, you know, I find it so uncomfortable, even myself, when we were asking all these persons. We are also on record as a national department. We are calling all provinces to abstain on the program, upgrading of informal settlements, more especially in the Western Cape, where the increase of informal settlements, we need to at all times display this commitment and deliver on it. And again, sir, it's not only in the Western Cape where they assume informal settlements. All provinces have informal settlements. And I find it, you know, I don't want to say I find people that are discriminating. I find it that way. If the alternate member will say, how many people is the national office counting people that are going to Eastern Cape? We will never do that. We will never do that because we don't do it in any province. All we do, we give money to all provinces to do their work. And now we have people that are defending the Western Cape, but at the time that we disrespect here, we never defended the Western Cape. Even myself, I never defended the Western Cape. I said, you did not use the money. Go and use the money. Now because it's Western Cape, we must all defend the Western Cape when we know. And Tafelberg, we want to congratulate the minister, Sisulu, because we won the case. And all the time, it's us and them to court. It's us and them to court when it comes to money. But they must answer all the technical questions asked by all members. We are not going to be like we shiver when it's Western Cape department, because we treat them the same way. If they are given money, they must use the money. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, GM. Tangana, Luigi, have you managed to come in, or is it Paige? The case? DDG, the Shabani.
Thank you, Chairperson. The team in the Western Cape province is online to answer the questions posed by the members, Chair.
Okay. Western Cape Department, you're welcome to respond.
Thank you very much, honorable members. There are a few questions that I'll refer to our Chief Financial Officer, if I can just note them. Our CFO will speak to skills retention questions that have been asked. He will also speak to the USDG questions that have been asked in terms of how the City of Cape Town has been spending. The procurement processes and the alignments to the Department of Trade and Industry in terms of the target set for women and youth in society. He'll respond to that one. I'll also ask him to please respond to how existing contracts are impacted given the reduction in budgets, first asked by one of the members. I apologize that I couldn't always hear the names of the members, so no disrespect intended. And then I will also ask the CFO to please respond to what additional support has been provided to municipalities in terms of capacity to achieve the targets that they have set for themselves. So if I can go through some of them, one of the questions was the targets set for March 2021, and are we sure that we'll reach them? We have worked with municipalities to determine the targets based on the impact of COVID and how persons or companies were able to go back onto site after the COVID restrictions, and the targets were set, taking into account contract procurement delays that are happening in some of the municipalities. So yes, we can meet those targets. There was a question, there were a number of questions in relation to the title deed, and there was a suggestion that we submit something in writing, which we can do as well. But if I can quickly just give a summary, one of the questions asked was transfers thus far, so between 2016 and the 2019-2020 financial year, pre and post 2014, we transferred 49,434 title deeds. Our target for the 2020-2021 financial year is 3,000 title deeds. And how we intend to do that is the majority of the challenges are in 7 municipalities in the Western Cape. So we're planning on focusing our resources on supporting these 7 municipalities, so that when, if we get them to a point where they are delivering, the backlog will decrease significantly. And the City of Cape Town also has a dedicated team which are driving their title deeds. So we are, our target has not diminished, even though the budget allocated to title deeds for this year has been reduced. We've maintained our target at 3,000. Then the budget cuts and how they affect in like a rapid urbanization. Rapid urbanization is not going to go away. And there was another question in relation to informal settlements and the mushrooming of informal settlements. It's not necessarily going to stop. We see rapid urbanization, we see population growth, and these will all affect the effort of government, provincial government or national government, to eradicate informal settlements. What we have done is we've developed an informal settlement support program, and we use this program to help determine prioritization of informal settlements, how we plan and implement informal settlements, which informal settlements can be developed and which will need to be relocated. And we try to do this with the support of our NGOs using an NGO framework. And then we try to host settlements with communities there. In the end, we need to embrace informality, and we need to understand that we have to improve the quality of life. Well, that's the intention. Our vision is to improve the quality of life and enable access to public infrastructure, to finance, land, tenure and economic opportunities within informal settlements, and provide, another question was asked later on, incremental housing opportunities to provide service sites and enable persons to then develop or build for themselves as they go along. Then the mitigation in terms of land invasions and support from the National Department of Human Settlements. The National Department of Human Settlements has set up an engagement with SAPS and Mr. Neville Cheney is here, and he chaired that session, so he could perhaps provide more information. But essentially, it was insightful in that SAPS presented their vision for what they needed from human settlements in terms of almost pre-planning for potential land invasions. They asked that they be kept in or brief on our business planning processes and given enough time early on and not when the actual invasion happens to embed potential responses or planning responses to potential invasions within their own plans. So they have committed that within the next month, each provincial commissioner or their head of the intelligence section will engage with provincial departments to further this relationship. It would be about us putting in place systems so that we can work organically together going forward. And the National Department has facilitated those discussions. There were a number of questions related to social housing in the inner city. The province does have quite a few projects that are anticipated. Our project in Kunradi has been approved by the Social Housing Regulatory Authority in Pinelands. We have approximately just over 400 units in our first phase, and that project is going on site, 432 units, and the construction will begin now in September.
we anticipating that the first units will be available or tenanted in July 2021. We also have our Pine Road social housing project in Salt River, which will be 243 units. There was delays in terms of going to site as a result of COVID, and now they were supposed to go on site at the end of September, early October, and they pushed that out to after the builders' holiday now in January. And the project also in Salt River, which is almost adjacent to Pine Road, Dillon Lane, is being packaged by the City of Cape Town at the moment. It's currently going through its public consultation process for rezoning, and we do anticipate that the rezoning application will be done by within the first 6 months of 2021. And that project should yield 150 units. And then if I'm bouncing around, so please forgive me if I'm not responding to members in order, but let's stick to the theme in terms of social housing. There was a question in relation to Helen Bowden and support offered to persons that have invaded those units. So the units have been invaded. The first part of Helen Bowden is intended for 302 social housing units, but we have been told that there's approximately, or by my Department of Transport and Public Works yesterday, let us know that there's 1,000 persons in that unit, that in the building that's been invaded. For that particular initiative, for us to actually build 302 social housing units there, we'd have to initiate an eviction process to get those persons placed somewhere else, and of course we may need to provide emergency accommodation and all of the things that come with that. But the Helen Bowden process essentially has been zoning approval for its first phase now. The next step would be, what do we do with the persons that have invaded the building that was intended to be used for social housing? Let's just go on. There was a question about the Funua Kwazi and reclaim the city. We work with all of our NGOs, and we would be open to working with the Funua Kwazi and reclaim the city. Were they to work with us, we would definitely be open to that. I'll move on. There were some questions, not a question, but more, I think, in terms of the typology and affordability of units that I mentioned for the gap market a little bit earlier, and it was also linked to buy option. I think here we need to talk about we'll be talking about reduced typology or rent to buy. We're talking for the market really between 3,500 and 10,000. 9,000. The banks don't necessarily want to give those persons a bond, and they don't qualify for service sites. So if government does nothing innovative to find or make a product more affordable to them that they can afford to pay, they will never own. And that is what we talk, what the province is looking at with the banks, is what can we build for persons who are only earning 10,000 rand a month, that they can actually afford to actually own something within their own country. They won't get a free house, they can't, and like many members have alluded to earlier, the land cost in Cape Town is expensive. And if you were only going to be paying for the land, it would be significant as well. So how do we create some kind of support package for the lower income, middle income market, so that they can also own and not necessarily use rent for eternity? And that's where the innovation with our partnerships with our financial institutions and trying to explore a deferred ownership model comes in. We have to try to find some way to support the lower middle income market as well. Then in terms of the making land available, we can develop in line with the budget that we have. And if we had more budget available or that was allocated to us through the national department, we would accelerate development. So we develop in line with the funding that we have available through action goals. How the budget, and I think one of the members responded in terms of the budget allocation. The budget allocation is made to us from the Department of Human Settlements, the National Department of Human Settlements. In terms of influx into the province, we can provide figures in that regard, if you'd like, myself as a member probably would have liked. We currently have, as of January 2019, I can't get a later figure, there were 534,187 households on our housing demand database. And just 320,937 households on the waiting list. In terms of the population of the Western Cape, it's about 6.62 million people, and it's estimated that between 2011 and 2016, we had a net immigration of 290,000 people. StatsSA is projecting that by 2021, for the previous 2016 to 2021, the Western Cape would have seen immigration of about 485,560 people. But we can provide more detail in writing on the statistics within the Western Cape in that regard. In terms of high-rise buildings, potential flexible accommodation, that is the strategy for inner city development. There are challenges, another question that kept being raised also is social housing. Valuable, we need to ensure that sustainable opportunities are created for future generations as well. And social housing is the tool to do that, a rental opportunity. The challenge with high-rise development for affordable housing is that the higher you go, the greater the cost per unit goes. So currently the social housing model caters to a four-story unit without necessarily having a lift. So once you go higher, you need lifts. So what we are trying to develop is a model which speaks to cross-subsidization. It may mean that a high-rise development is not purely affordable housing. It may mean that we need to create units for higher income persons that can then subsidize the cost of lifts and those kinds of things and enable a deeper down market niche in terms of affordability of those units within the inner city. If we were to use the cost of construction, and now just many years ago we explored buying a building in the city of Cape Town, and the cost of building a social housing unit within, if we had purchased that building, would have been close to R1 million per unit. A tenant, an affordable housing tenant, could never afford that. So we need to look at cross-subsidization between higher income and lower income, and then having higher income earners cross-subsidize those additional construction costs that may come with high-rise development. But we are definitely looking at that in some of our projects within the metro. And we have partnered, or the Social Housing Foundation, the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, the City of Cape Town, the province, and the National Institute of Social Housing Organizations, partnered with Rooftop Canada to look at exploring this kind of model on one of the social housing projects within the city, within the inner city. Yes, the question on the backlog and the impact on contracts, although our CFO will answer that, there is a significant impact in terms of the budget cut, because it means that we have to focus on projects we've already committed to. There can't be new opportunities. So it essentially carries over. What we've lost this year, we need to pay next year, which means next year we can't identify new projects. So the budget cuts will continue to compound the backlog of human settlements within the province. We can provide a report on land invasions and the cost of more detailed reports in writing if the portfolio committee would like that as well, with statistics. And I know the City of Cape Town has got information on how much land has been lost in the last couple of months in terms of land invasions as well. There was a note that there were a number of petitions that were with one of the members. Please forward those petitions and we will respond as needed to. I have spoken to the question on the relationship between the national department and the province in terms of invasions. And we do engage constantly with the national department. We have a good relationship with them, with the officials. And then I think the poorer communities on the outskirts of towns, we have to respond to that in terms of social housing. The land cost, and as member has alluded to that, is just simply too expensive for even officials like us to own within the inner city. And social housing will enable that, enabling affordable rental within the city, and it also will guarantee the current future opportunities for future generations. And that is the approach that we want to take in terms of providing affordable opportunities for persons within the inner city. There was the final question I think that I have is the relationship between the department and the government employee housing scheme or the public service. So we have engaged them constantly. They have partaken. What the province does is that we run affordable housing open days within the different metros. We've had a few, and this leads into the consumer readiness program that I spoke to a little bit earlier. So the government employee housing scheme has been very supportive of these initiatives. They've come with us to a number of municipalities. They've been in Mossel Bay with us. They were in Kwinans with us. When our nurses, our teachers, our public service, our lower level government officials are coming in, they sit down and they speak them through the government employee housing scheme. So government officials have that as an option for support. Our lower level government officials can also access the PLIF as a means of support. What the province is also going to do, hopefully within the next few months, is that through our Department of the Premier, we want to link up with the government employee housing scheme and run a set of workshops for lower level government employees on how the government employee housing scheme can actually help them. But a few, even though we do this and we communicate regularly, the knowledge of what the government employee housing scheme can offer government officials hasn't necessarily filtered through to everyone, and we want to run these workshops and almost begin to see ourselves as also part of an employer assisted housing scheme, because the government employee housing scheme is there to assist government employees. With that, I'd like to hand over to our CFO to just answer the questions I flagged for him. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honourable members. Thank you for all the questions and all the rigorous discussions. We appreciate it. The retention of skills of specialists, we deal with them in terms of the DPSA guidelines on OSD, occupational specific dispensation. We are struggling to get professionals from outside, but we have embarked on a process where we rather develop our own professionals. So with the National Department of Human Settlements,
are they asking There is load shedding across the country, which is why most of our members, including our own members' cameras, are off. And
Must I keep it on or can I take it off?
You can proceed with it.
Thank you, Jeff Person. We don't have this to see my face. Okay, so we've embarked in taking up candidate professionals, that is candidate engineers, technologists, town and regional planners.
Point of order, Chief. If there's no problem with network on your side and no electricity issue, can we please, you please keep your camera on? It must be a norm in this committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. So we currently have eight candidate engineers and down the regional planners. They are being mentored by professionals. They have had all adversaries that they received from the National Department of Human Settlements. They work by us until they require the necessary experience in order for them to register as professionals at the respective bodies. And if we can, we will appoint them, and as we have done now over the past couple of years. On the retirement part, all our older people has been retired. That came from over the years. So
So we actually have a relative young mix of professionals in our department. We also have a bursary scheme inside the department. About 800,000 rand has been allocated on an annual basis towards bursaries, and we try to focus on these specific human settlement construction related skills and to give them bursaries that also enable us to keep them contracted to the department for a longer time. On our budget cuts, what we did, we did not want to disrupt any contract that we're going. We had to reprioritize and submit a reprioritized business plan to the National Department of Human Settlements. The principle of see where we can defer projects without any additional cost to the department, we would have done it. Otherwise, we would have ensured that those contracts are being completed before we do any new contracts. We did the whole prioritized exercise. We also got a lot of guidance from our national counterparts and where we should focus. And the whole issue of rapid rent release, we are going to implement with the National Department of Human Settlements. They are busy finalizing all the necessary guidelines in that regard. It will mean that it will be a less for more, so there might not be houses for everybody, but rather to the most vulnerable people will get the houses while the others will get the service stand, whereby they can build their own unit with the necessary services attached to it. It has been communicated across the province, and from our feedback from the municipalities, the people are really in support of that latest wildland services. So we will be focusing on that program as well, but where current commitments and contracts are in place, we need to honor that. On the USDG and other spending, I cannot talk to that. The City of Cape Town, the grant to the City of Cape Town, they reported to the National Department of Human Settlements. They have not closed their books yet, so the final expenditure of them, I did it at my disposal at that moment in time, but they do report to the National Department of Human Settlements in that regard. On the women and youth targets, all our contracts make provision for a certain percentage to be subcontracted to identified groups like women and youth, and there's penalties attached to it. We must operate in terms of the preferential procurement regulations, and unfortunately we are contracting in accordance with the BBBEE and not only on HDA status anymore. That has changed in 2016, so it is a bit difficult. But we did went on a drive to get contractors on our framework, specifically the women and the youth, and we opened it up again. So we hope that we can find more women and youth. Currently, we are not doing very well in that regard. Support to municipalities, right? We do give additional support to the municipalities by using the off-scape budget that we received from the National Department of Human Settlements as part of the grant allocation to us. Currently, we have about 14 clerks that's been appointed by municipalities to assist with the human settlement function, including the update of the housing demand and the title deeds and other facilitation needed. We have also professional teams that assist municipalities with big projects that we implement with them. And our regional teams consist of engineers and planners, and they also assist in the municipalities with the housing function. There's a regular regional forums where all the latest discusses guidelines are being discussed and workshop with the municipalities so that everybody is clear where we are going in the future. The impact of land invasions and vandalism of about 140 million rand, that the impact is about 3,000 sites or 1,000 houses or a combination of it, depends on the product that we have. We try to not cut down on our target and see how we can find alternative ways of funding some of those costs. I think that is the outstanding issues that was raised by the committee and that was given to me to respond on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO, National Department. Honorable Leon, welcome back. I have received your apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to indicate on the one issue that was referred to the National Department from the province was the issue around the question of illegal land occupation. Chair, I think we must contextualize the issue of illegal land occupations, and you'll note that I'm referring to illegal and unlawful land occupations, not land invasions. And the reason we're doing that is that I think it's a consequence of development. So what you need to be very clear is that ours is about developmental responsibility. And in doing that, we need to look at a developmental response rather than taking the approach that there needs to be a security response to it, but it has to be developmental. That does not indicate that there is no need for us to undertake and ensure that there is proper planning and those processes that are put in place are there. Because when there is illegal land occupation, it does in many respects impinge on the rights of other households that have been developed or that wait patiently for land to be developed, then allocated to them. And this is especially the backyard. And Chair, it's important to note that this is a countrywide issue. I think the impression that is that sometimes the metropolitan municipalities are the biggest recipients of people moving into urban areas seeking better economic opportunities. In fact, the fastest growing town in South Africa was Rustenburg. So it remains that, and then there's a substantial amount of people moving into the mining area. So there's huge amounts of households that are moving in there looking for those. What it does then is it creates a situation where people then find themselves in informal settlements. To indicate, as the department, we have had the informal settlement upgrading program since the beginning of democracy, and it's been there, and it remains the responsibility of provinces and municipalities to prioritize that program. What has happened is that as a result of provinces and municipalities not prioritizing it, Minister, together with the DM and the National Department, we created a separate budget line item that's in the budget on the informal settlement upgrading. And in many respects, that is there for all of the municipalities, including the Western Cape and the City of Cape Town, to utilize and ensure that money gets spent. The budgets that I don't want to comment on the issue, but I think DM Fete has raised the issue that the budgets reductions that occurred across the board, and all of the provinces, as well as some of the metropolitan municipalities, suffered pain.
Proceed to water sanitation. Did you do the Shabani? I'm fine.
Chairperson, indeed, I am covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Acting DG Trevor.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I am audible, I hope. I will deal with some of the questions asked, and others I will be requesting one of my team resident in the Western Cape to respond to the questions. I also battled Honourable Chair getting the names of some of the members, but I think the first question was asked by Honourable Tepa Sekwa, and that was in relation to the matter that there were three slides which I had to upfront before the meeting started. To focus specifically on COVID projects, and so that reallocation, much of the funding comes back into the RBIC and WISIG projects. So while there was a budget cut, the funds did come back, but it's a reprioritization of the projects. And bearing in mind that some of those projects had to be reprioritized in any event because of the delays which would have which have resulted because of the implications or the impact of the initially the level 5 lockdown, and how that impacted on our ability to proceed with the implementation of infrastructure projects. So that gave us an opportunity to do a budget shift to then focus on some of the COVID-19 projects. And Honourable Chair, that impact is across the country. So it wasn't just Western Cape related. Western Cape were less affected than the other provinces, but the response I'm giving to you is with regard to the way those cuts and the budget was reprioritized across the country. Honourable Chair, just also coming to a matter that was raised by Honourable Mashego in relation to desalination plans, I can just indicate that within the framework of the Western Cape and our Western Cape water supply system and the reconciliation strategy, that we do have a steering committee on which the City of Cape Town serve as well, where we are looking at all of the future development scenarios to make sure that we have water security into the Western Cape area, and particularly from the Western Cape water supply system. And in that reconciliation study process, we're looking at various alternate water supplies, which includes, amongst others, the augmentation of surface water, and one project which is in the in preparation stage and has been included in the SIP infrastructure projects which were announced by the President recently. That's the Berg River to Coolplay augmentation project. There's also the issue of wastewater reclamation, and then there's also the issue of desalination. And the City of Cape Town, in terms of the reconciliation study and the planning we've done, has taken responsibility for the further investigation into the feasibility of desalination, with the possibility of erecting a very substantial plant on the west coast in the vicinity of the Kuiberg power plant. But I think, Honourable Chair, the issue generally about desalination, which covers most of our coastal cities, I would suggest, would respectfully suggest to you, Honourable Chair, that at some stage we have a an engagement with the Portfolio Committee, that we can talk generally around the issues of desalination, as while it would impact on the coastal cities, desalination is also an option in terms of treating AMD in the Gauteng area and other areas where we might have AMD discharges. So that would be a request that I would respectfully make to you, Honourable Chair, for some time in the future that we handle that. So with those inputs from myself, I would request my colleague from our provincial office in Bellville, Mr. Mzi Masitembe, to come in, and he will respond to the other questions, particularly those raised by Honourable Mafala and Honourable Mokhato. He will respond to those issues. And then after him, I would request Pakamani Buthelezi to respond to the two questions that were raised in relation to the Overberg Water Board. Honourable Chair, thank you very much. My colleague from the Bellville office is up on the screen already. Thank you very much for your indulgence, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much,
Mr.
Let's have, as indicated by yourself, and then the DM Masobo will close the response. DM Masobo, you're welcome. You'll close the response. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got that. Thanks for your indulgence.
Yes, we are listening. Western Cape Water Department.
Bellevue.
Honorable Chair, the concerns were raised on the issues of the Water Services Development Planning and what has been done by the Western Cape to assist the municipality. By 2017, we've trained all the municipalities on an online system to assist them to complete the Water Services Development Plan. But what we are finding is that some of the municipalities which we have highlighted in our presentation are still struggling to complete the Water Services Development Plan because some of them have a high level of turnover. Now, what we have done to assist and close that gap is we are engaging SALGA and the Department of Local Government at a provincial level to enhance the capacity on the identified municipality. Another one was raised on the issue of that the number of liters or kiloliters of water was delivered on the Monwabisi Park. What has happened is, at initial stages, the City of Cape Town has highlighted the Monwabisi Park as one of the high-risk areas because there is currently no water network in the area since there had to be tendering. Contrary to some of the new developments that are closer to the existing network, Monwabisi Park didn't have a water network. That's why it was highlighted. Concerns were also raised by honorable member on the issue of the timeline. In as far as the completion of projects are concerned, the one that was highlighted is Prince Albert, where we were saying the progress is underway. We just didn't want to confirm the completion of the project. The project was completed by 30th of July 2020. However, the project is still in a snag or a defect liability period. So it's in the testing phase. The project was funded by MIG. Classroom also falls under Prince Albert. On an issue of the Stellenbosch wastewater treatment work, to resolve the situation over the years, the department has funded a plant which has costed which has costed 405 million rand. Of that 405 million rand, the department had to co-fund in line with the RVIC framework an amount of 110 million rand. That plan is completed, Chairperson. However, it's also in the testing phase. That's why we couldn't confirm it as a completed project when we reported it. But it's completed, however, it's in the testing and on a defect liability period also. So it's in the testing phase. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable
Chair.
Thank
you very much, Mayor. Can we follow up or are we going to allow to follow up? Yes, please. Yes, please. Okay, thank you. Are we done the official executive, PM?
I need to respond.
Yes. Ma'am, there's been... Here we go. Overbear
wanted
to respond first, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I will respond to the two issues that were raised. The first one was the presentation is largely drawings and diagrams. We are currently updating the drawings to respond to the request coming from the committee member. We acknowledge that request, hence we have to make sure that there are ways attached to our presentation. In addition to the distribution of our water, our customers are 202. There's there's TWK, TM Water Group, which gets 37, concerned about water, and then the health sector municipality has gestural concerned about water, as well as the industrial customers, which are predominantly farmers. But they get this water to agro processing, and their allocation is 51%. That is based on the demand that they ask us to give them allocation. And if both a day, for example, for Hesekwa municipality, they get 2.2 thousand liters per day, and then TWK 6.6 kilometers per day, and industrial farmers 9.086 kilometers per day. But percentage can be misleading if we don't take into account the actual beneficiaries. For example, the industrial farmers numbers, there are only 800 industrial people that get that water. But against the total population of 108,000 for TWK, and also against the population of 52,000 for Hesekwa. So when you take those into account, the beneficiaries in numbers, there are more than the actual beneficiaries of these people who are processing. I can also say that the other issue is we need to increase our water capacity. Hence earlier on, I spoke about upgrading our system, because we have seen that there's a demand for water, especially in our informal settlement. That's the area that we are currently working with the municipalities per district to ensure that we increase our footprint mainly in areas like informal settlement through the municipality, so that access to water it becomes a reality in all our communities. That we have learned from our previous experience when we had to distribute COVID water tanks on the health department of 401 covering the entire province. We've then realized that the demand for water, especially in informal settlement, is something that we have worked with SALCA National and also SALCA Provincial, and see how best we can add value insofar as the access is concerned. This, of course, goes with the responsibility. As I've said, we need to upgrade our infrastructure. There are specific financial protections that I covered. For example, I did say if we were to upgrade our infrastructure using media demand, by 2025, we'll need about 600 million. So for us, the maintenance now, so in all the province, in all the districts that we are currently providing water, we cover it. Okay, every local government.
Thank you very much, VM Makongo.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency, and to all the honorable members, and to Mampem, our Deputy Minister for Water, and the team there. From our side, Chairperson, probably let's just thank the members at the presentations, including the team from the Western Cape. Safe to say that the issue that Your Excellencies are raising around issues of budget, Trevor is correct, because the budget affects everybody. The only thing that we'll do, and that we are doing, Chair, not only with the Western Cape, but all water services authorities, on the money that we have approved in terms of the adjustment budget, because for us to be able to spend this money, we need to support all municipalities affected, Chair, with respect to the business plans appraisers, so that particular process must not be in a position to take long. And this is one of the most important aspects in terms of this grant funding, whether it's in RFIC or WISIC or any water-related matter, because the department ultimately, it is the one, even when that is meek. But if the projects are water-related, we still have to have a say in terms of those technical reports, and we'll have to manage the issues of to and fro, so that we don't have those difficulties. Secondly, I'm very happy that Western Cape today was discussing them, and they've been very fortunate. The water situation has much improved. If you look at the issues of the winter rain, especially around Cape Town, and if you compare with the other figures of last year, this time around. And I'm very pleased, Chair, that we are also starting to focus on the other areas, because Western Cape is not about the city of Cape Town. There are those other farming communities and municipalities that have no capacity. That's why if you look at our municipal assessment, the issues around capacity, the retention of skills, and including the issues around the functionality of some of these municipalities. And even ourselves, Chair, we need to do more in terms of our own ability to do this municipal assessment on an ongoing basis, because all water services authorities in terms of regulation on an annual basis, we still have to be in a position to assess whether do they still have the capacity to discharge their responsibility in terms of the Water Services Act. And in instances where there is no capacity, we invoke Section 154 of the Constitution so that they are provided with the support before they actually collapse. On the last matter, Chair, that honorable members have been raising around the issues of water reclamation and the technologies that are being used, we should have a discussion, because we know that Western Cape, City of Umhlatos and others, they have implemented some of these issues around desalination technologies, especially because water is more available closer to them because they are surrounded by the sea or the ocean. But there are some challenges around the question of the technology in terms of the issues of operation and maintenance, because the input cost remains very high, which is much about power. Right now where we're sitting, Chair, there's no electricity in the capital in Swan. It takes well around exactly 12 o'clock when I just had logged in. We lost the power here. And then also the issues of the management of the waste, which is prime. And we will be glad, Chairperson, that we can be able to come in, because for us, for the water means to work, we must deal with the issues of the technologies that are brought to South Africa. How do we localize, ensure that our own, we actually bring some of these issues as a country to manage. But generally, Chairperson, those are the ways in support of some of the good work that is being happening, including the support by the regional office. Well, the issues around water quality, they remain a problem for a number of municipalities there. We'll continue to support the province, but at the very same time, our message that the polluter pays, will actually implement it without any fear or favor, Chair, because we can be in a position to can have water, but as long as our water continues to be polluted, especially in the Western Cape, because some of the farming communities, they have an impact because they are exporting a lot of our products, and there are high standards that have been set that if we don't meet them in terms of water quality related matters, we can be able to kill some of the export potential or capability that the country has. I want to thank you once again, Chair, for allowing us with the team to come and make these presentations. Thank you. Shaliko.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable.
Chair? Honorable Moshala.
Okay. Honorable members. It's 1:45. By 1 o'clock, we must have done.
We're hungry, Chair.
Yes, the same say 1 o'clock, we must go and eat so that we are changing the shifting at 2 o'clock. Let me allow, there is a two follow-ups that I've noted. Can I see other Honorable Makala and Grace again? Can I check if there is another one? Honorable Musala.
No, thanks so much, Chairperson. You know, I ask a question to the department, I think. I mean, to the provincial government of Western Cape about the delivery of water to Munwabisi Park in Vaal settlement. And my question further fact, what about the people of Mpolwe? Graaifontein in what 101, Khayelitsha, what 94, 96 and 98, and the people of Mpolwe what 108 and 114. But there's people when he reformed, he just come and choose what you want to choose. I did not ask about is a parking assessment because it's already in the presentation. My question was escalated, was on Mpolweni, Graaifontein and Khayelitsha people who doesn't have water in the Western Cape. What about those ones? Because in your presentation, you only highlighted Munwabi Park informal settlement. And the acting DG as well. On our, my response, your response, you highlighted the issue of the Arbic being Arbic funds and
WIFIC funds, but the cards being all over the country, not in Western Cape alone. My question was, what about the ongoing water and sanitation infrastructure projects? Are they not going to be affected, or are they going to be affected? And if they are affected, how are we going to solve the problem? Because we have infrastructures that we must work on them. So what is it going to happen if we are cutting funds? And the other thing is, Chairperson, the issue of we don't raise these issues when the Western Cape department is here. We have raised issues on Arctic and music. Raised issues when Western Cape. Because the NC come here and now politicize issues. I was very, very disappointed by the response of the minister, who come here and talk a lot of issues that are not going to take us anywhere. We don't choose a problem. We highlight issues as we see them in the presentation are being cut. Are they not going to affect the infrastructure in the province? So the problem with you, ANC leader, that's why the country is like this today. It's because of this thing of yours, of being political at all the time and not trying to sort issues of the country. See, now here we are talking about issues that are affecting our people. So you just get agitated when I'm a chairperson.
When the people call for order, you must listen to them, as you
what's
do.
What's preparing your order?
So
you
I'm setting
what now?
There's an order that has been called.
Okay, no, thank you, I'm listening.
Honorable Mbana.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think Honorable Mosale is right. Let's not politicize this thing. But what a problem is with Honorable Mshala, she politicizes herself. In terms of the minister, it's the minister or deputy minister of the department. So you can't say she said this and she said that. She never said that one on that meeting. Just come up with your point, Chairperson. She must just put a straight so that we can be able to answer her.
Thanks, Chair.
Let me wrap up.
Honorable Mutala, you have 1 minute to wrap up.
Okay, I'm wrapping up.
Yes, have 1 minute.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to highlight that we raised issues, any issue that is affecting our province, and we are not choosing a party. Whether it's DA or the NC living in that province, we don't care. It's the EFF. We want our people to restore the dignity of our people. I'm very serious. I'm not even the minister. The deputy minister was out of order today. He just came here and talked politics for no reason.
Thank you very much.
And he got agitated. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mutala. Honorable Zakia. Thank you very much, Chair. As part of the written responses, I would want the province, the Western Cape province, to package the questions that were raised with regard to the title deeds matters. They must respond to those questions in a written form and submit them to the committee secretary. And lastly, Chair, on the issue of the Daffelberg judgment, we want to hear the voice of the province. What are they saying in terms of the judgment? We want to hear the voice of the Department of Women Settlement with regard to the judgment that was issued on the 31st of August. Because, Chair, it's very clear that the housing policies of the Western Cape, it's unconstitutional. If we continue with a situation like this, we'll continue to see our black people, we'll continue to see the lives of the black people being discriminated or being neglected. So we want, say, the Department of Women Settlement to come and brief us, to come and brief us as the portfolio committee and the Western Cape Department to tell us on how are they going to transform the housing policies of the Western Cape so that it can be able to address the apartheid special human settlement. Thanks very much.
Honorable Chairperson, it's Honorable Powell. Will you come through, please?
Honorable Powell, and then Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. The officials did a brilliant job in responding. He has identified a date. Will he get a chance to come back and give us the responses from last week, noting that we conclude this term on Friday? We don't have any diary appointments yet for that session. And he did note on Thursday night that you would ensure that we didn't before we had those responses, Chair.
Can you allow us to close the meeting to finalize the agenda? Honorable Sukwai.
The response by the Western Cape officials is very worrying. I don't know the level of the officials that have come to present. For an official who presented the last said, I cannot respond to the USDG. The city must respond. I have no knowledge. They didn't come to us. It's worrying because that issue should have been known by the city, by the province, by that particular municipality. I'm worried about such a response. But I still want that response. What happened?
Department and the national, we have only 5 minutes to respond.
Thanks. Madam Chair, I'm in. sorry. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
Good afternoon again. Can I just, if you can please refresh the numbers in the presentation, which specific numbers are you referring to?
I'm talking about the numbers that are shown in the diagram, slide 12 in terms of the tanker that is presented, the one that was presented by the department, which I think the responsibility and the knowledge should come from the Western Cape.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
so under department, thank you very much for that response. I think the question is intended for water and sanitation. From the human settlement side, we note the request for the title deed report and we will submit that to you. We will also, as mentioned earlier, submit something in relation to just summarizing the land invasions and the consequences or the costs there are so far. And then we have noticed the UFCG response and we will engage with the city to provide further information. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What's the presentation?
Honourable Chair, thank you. First of all, the follow-up by Honourable Mashala. In terms of our big and research, if I didn't elucidate sufficiently there, if I could just add that while there were budget cuts and shifts in budget during the current year, the projects will not be affected in terms of implementation. It will just be the project will be affected in terms of time of completion, because the impact of COVID had delayed the cash flow projections on those projects, which has then been applied to COVID-19 related projects. So it's just a delay that you will see. It's not a project budget cut as such. With regard to the provision of water to Mpolweni, Kraaifontein and those other communities, I understood that was directed to the provincial government. I'm not too sure whether I got that correctly. And then the last question, Honourable Chair, from Honourable Setswai, the number in that table which I corrected was the column 3, the added up number, the tabulated number should have been 582 and not 577 as reflected. But I did indicate that we would provide the corrected slides to your office, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. National Department, Human Settlement.
Afternoon, Chair. Chair, we will provide Member Teke with the manner in which we respond to the Tafelberg judgment, Chair. Thanks.
And other communities not having water, they did not respond on that question. Can they please respond? But honorable members, they were given chance, they have not responded. It means that they don't have the answer. Honorable Western Cape, can you, as you bring the report on title deed, please the response to the question of Mpuleni and other areas, informal settlement on the distribution of water in those areas. Can we agree on that, honourable member?
Can I just check the distribution of water? Is that a question for human settlements or for the Western Cape Water and Sanitation Unit?
It's informal settlement. Informal settlement resonates from human settlement.
Chairperson, the local government is responsible for the reticulation of water services. So I would suggest that question be sent to Malusi Boy, who is the medical member for informal settlements at the City of Cape Town, and I'm sure his office will provide responses. The provincial department doesn't have a reticulation responsibility.
Why do you have to answer for them? Why
because
don't
no
they
one seems to know
what that is. And I'm sure with regards to the district development model, they can be able to...
Yes. Honorable Mbana,
please. Honorable Powell, you are right with saying that the province should respond in writing on those issues and it must be submitted. They must actually tell the city themselves that the committee has raised this issue, and they must respond on those issues. Thank you very much, honourable member. Honourable members, honourable member Power, we are still waiting for the confirmation of the minister's availability. Honorable Mbana, we are saying that the department, the department in the Western Cape.
It's 13 hours.
The department in the Western Cape will communicate to the relevant authorities on the issues that we have raised, and they will submit the written response to you, Honorable Member, because we've given them twice, they don't have the answer. So we cannot thank you very much.
I can answer if you'd like me to, but I'm not a government official. the meeting has been adjourned.
Are you around? You are playing games at the moment.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, you are. You want to play politics? We can also play politics.